Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from Romans chapter 1, verse 17, where St. Paul writes, "The just will live by faith." Let us pray. Lord, through your Spirit, inscribe on our hearts the truth of your word, the just will live by faith. Amen. There's a lot of fear in our world today. Fear of disease and sickness, whether our budget will be big enough, fear of terrorism, and fear of death. And yet, strangely today, there is little fear of God. People live their lives as if God did not exist. How wrong they are, for God is not mocked. You cannot sneer at God and get away with it. God punishes those who rebel against him, but he has mercy on those who come to him with repentant and believing hearts. And that was the message of Martin Luther. First, Luther proclaimed the law which strikes and smashes our hard heart and drives us into the arms of Christ, who gave his life on that cross that we might be forgiven and rescued for a life with him. In this way, Luther was simply echoing the words of St. Paul, "The just will live by faith," or as the Greek actually puts it, "The just by faith will live." This message is so needed today because we are all sinners. We all need to be put right with God through faith in Jesus alone. Such faith overcomes fear and brings life. The church in Luther's day was in poor shape, and this is admitted even by Roman Catholics today. God raised up Luther to reform the church. Luther was born in 1483 in a town called Eisleben, southwest of Berlin. And some years ago, my wife and I visited Eisleben, and it lived up to its name. It was a very icy day. We saw where Luther was born and the church where he was baptized. As he grew up, Luther decided to become a lawyer. But one day, he was struck to the ground by a bolt of lightning. And in his fear, he looked up and said, "Saint Anne, I will become a monk." And he did. After he became a monk, he was sent to Wittenberg to teach theology. In those days, Wittenberg was a town of about 2,000 people, and most of the people got their money by brewing beer, much of which they drank. Today, the city of Wittenberg is over 50,000 people. There are two main churches in Wittenberg associated with Luther, one at either end of the town, and Luther himself is buried in the castle church. While he was a monk, Luther still feared God, and he thought it was up to him to pacify God, to get into God's good books, and so he abused his body. He went without food day after day and slept on the cold floor, but he realized that this was not doing the trick. And then in his study of the Bible, he came upon Romans 1:17. And the Holy Spirit led him to understand that we are put right with God not by what we do, but what Christ has done when he sacrificed his life on the cross. And through faith in Jesus, then we are released from our sin and we are made the very children of God. Luther said that when he understood this for the first time, it was as if he had been reborn and entered the very gates of paradise itself. At this time, indulgences were all the rage, and we've got this on the wall behind me. What is an indulgence? Well, if you had committed a very bad sin, the church imposed upon you a penalty or a punishment that you had to fulfill. Maybe you had to say the Lord's Prayer 100 times to get rid of that penalty. Now, an indulgence was the permission to get rid of that penalty. And so if you paid your money, instead of doing 100 Our Fathers, you might get away with 20 or 10 or even none. Indulgence has also helped you if you happen to land into purgatory. Purgatory was a halfway house between heaven and hell. Not bad enough for hell, but not good enough for heaven. And so there you sat in purgatory until you were purified and therefore fit to enter heaven. And indulgences then lessened the time you had in purgatory, maybe even got you out altogether. And as we saw over here, and you did a wonderful job with these theses, Luther wrote those 95 theses and nailed them to the door. It will be 499 years tomorrow. And Luther realized that in those days, the guy that was selling these indulgences made it appear as if it was also going to get rid of your sins and make you certain of heaven. The original door, unfortunately, is long gone because it was wood and now replaced by a bronze door on which all 95 theses are inscribed. Although they were written in Latin, they were soon translated into many languages and electrified Europe. And as a result, the sale of indulgences dried up. Luther quickly got into trouble for writing them. He went to Augsburg in 1518 to defend what he had done and had to flee for his life. And then in 1521, Emperor Charles V summoned him to a meeting in Worms to defend and to renounce what he had written. And of course, Luther did not renounce what he had written, and he stood there and said, "Here I stand, I can do no other, God help me, Amen." Luther's stand made him an outlaw. His life was in danger. And on the way back to Wittenberg, he was captured by friends and taken to the Wartburg Castle just outside of Eisenach, where he went into hiding for 10 months. And in those 10 months, he wrote 12 books and translated the New Testament from Greek into German. And in fact, his translation of the New Testament into German was the foundation of the German language. We saw, and if you go to that castle today, you can see where Luther's study was, his room where he worked. And on the wall, you can see the ink spot, because apparently the devil was tormenting him, and according to legend, Luther threw an inkwell, and it splotched onto the wall, and I'm told they re-ink it every few years. Well, the Reformation flourished, and many people accepted the teaching of justification by faith. Luther's opponents, of course, called them Lutherans, and Luther himself was horrified they should use his name in such a way, but of course the name stuck. But let me give you one example of how the Holy Spirit used Luther to change somebody's life. It so happened that in 1518, Luther was on his way to a church convention in Heidelberg. And on the way, he stopped in a hotel at a place called Miltenberg. This hotel is today the oldest hotel in Europe and dates all the way back to 1160 AD. Well, anyway, Luther stayed in this particular hotel at Miltenberg. But Luther's enemies heard that he was passing through Miltenberg, and one of his enemies was a count called Count Eberhard of Erbach, and his castle was about 6 hours away from Miltenberg. He was a knight, and he went with other knights to Miltenberg to lay hands on Luther. Well, while the other knights watched the roads leading into Miltenberg, Count Eberhard himself stopped at this hotel, in case I knock it. And Count Eberhard then ate his dinner and went to his bedroom to await reports from his fellow knights. Had they caught Luther yet? While Count Eberhard was waiting, he heard in the next room a wonderful baritone voice of someone singing Christian hymns. There was only a very thin wall between them. And he was accompanying these songs on his lute. The music and the hymns moved the Count very deeply. And then he heard a very wonderful prayer from this stranger next door, asking God to look, watch over him and thanking God for having given Jesus to rescue him from his sins. He then commended himself, body and soul, into the hands of his heavenly Father. And all this while, the Count listened intently. And then he folded his own hands and prayed along. And this brought peace and rest to his soul, and soon he fell asleep. Early the next morning, Count Eberhard was awoken by the same baritone voice singing Christian hymns and then another fervent prayer asking God to protect and preserve his church. The Count dressed himself and hurried to find the hotel keeper and said, "I'd love to meet this stranger." And the hotel keeper arranged a meeting. And Count Eberhard went up to the stranger and thanked him for the music and the prayers. And the stranger said to him, "Music is one of the noblest gifts of God. The devil hates music and a prayer." The Count then asked the stranger to sing another song because he wanted to be fortified and strengthened for the important task ahead of him. And the stranger asked him, "And what's this important task?" The Count said he was looking for the heretic and enemy of the church, Martin Luther. And the stranger said, "Well, what are you going to do when you find this Martin Luther?" He says, "I'll cart him off to Erbach and put him into my deepest dungeon. And there he'll stay until he gives up this vile teaching." "And if he doesn't give up this vile teaching, what will you do to him?" "I'll burn him at the stake. And then he'll rot in hell forever." And the stranger then replied, "Your search is over. I am Martin Luther." The Count was stunned and speechless. Luther told him he was now in the Count's hands to do with him what he wanted. But what would the Count do to a man who is convinced by God's word that we are saved by faith in Jesus alone? Count Eberhard was finally able to speak and said that he had no longer any thoughts of putting Luther into a dungeon. Luther's wonderful prayers and singing had won him over. In fact, he begged Luther to come to his castle at Erbach because he wanted to introduce Luther to his wife and sing some hymns to her and some prayers. Luther accepted the offer and they went to Erbach. And the Count had arranged that someone went ahead, and when they arrived, that the church bells would ring for them. The Count then introduced Luther to his wife. And he told her that the roles had now changed, that Luther was the conqueror and he was the vanquished. He thanked God then for all his goodness to him and to his family. Today there are still Eberhards in Germany who are faithful Christians. And where my brother Neville and I grew up in Brinkworth, there are also Eberhards. And I haven't yet found out whether they are related, but I'm pretty sure they probably are. So Luther was protected by our gracious God. And then in 1546, at the age of 62, Luther went to Eisleben once again to resolve a dispute between two counts. He was successful and preached some sermons in the church in Eisleben, but during the last sermon he felt weak and was taken across the road to a house, and there he died, confessing Christ. And this is what the pastor had to say at his funeral. dear friends, so that you might also have a short report about our dearly beloved father, Martin Luther, I will give it. When he noticed that his hour had come, he prayed, O my heavenly Father, one God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God of all comfort, I thank you that you have revealed to me your dear Son, Jesus Christ, in whom I believe, whom I've preached and confessed, whom I've loved and praised. I implore you, my Lord Jesus Christ, let this little soul be commended to you. O Heavenly Father, although I must leave this body and be snatched away from this life, I am nevertheless certain that I will remain with you internally, and no one can tear me out of your hands. And then Luther said three times, Into your hands I commend my spirit. You have redeemed me, you faithful God. And then Luther repeated the words of John 3:16, which you should all know by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Then Luther folded his hands and gave up his spirit to Christ in grand silence. Here was a man who lived by faith and died by faith. He died without fear, in full confidence of the mercies of God. St. Paul's message was Luther's message, and it's for all of us too. The just will live by faith. As sinners, we do fear God, for the wages of sin is eternal death. But Jesus conquered our sin. He tasted judgment and hell for us. And through his shed blood on the cross, we are completely forgiven. All we can do is hold out the empty hand of a beggar and receive the blessings that Jesus won on the cross. Sure, fears still abound in our world. Sickness, disease, death. But when fear grabs us, we can look up to God. In fact, when you're lying on your back, there's nowhere else to look but up to where God is, watching over you. Martin Luther had his favorite psalm was Psalm 46. And we've just sung the wonderful hymn set to Psalm 46. A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. Faith turns to God in the midst of fear. We put our hands in God's hands when we are afraid. Faith cuts through fear and brings light and hope. Faith enables us to be confident even when we are dying. The Lord Jesus, who justified us by faith, will receive us into heaven. What more do we need? God is our refuge and strength, our present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. That's faith talking. Faith that rests in Christ. Faith that is confident. Faith that overcomes fear. Faith that rests its case. The just, by faith, will live. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.